This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, it's a strange thing to talk about this, but in reflecting on the Quran, one of my friends asked me this question and said, how can you persuade, or how can I persuade a Muslim who does not pray that he should pray? Now, it's a strange question because it's like asking somebody who has a, you know, who has, a platinum card without any spending limits and is free to spend whatever he wants, but this person is actually begging on the street, asking people for to give him a couple of dollars to buy bread, and you ask him, what are you doing? I mean, you know, you have this, you can buy the whole bread shop just by swiping the card, and you are asking, you're begging people, why? This is the issue. How do you persuade a Muslim to pray? I mean, why should you persuade a Muslim to pray? A Muslim is somebody who should understand that what is the prayer? The prayer is the biggest strength, the biggest resource, the biggest powerful thing that he has or she has. And if they don't want to use it, what is the point of having it? Right? What is the point of having it? Salah is the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is when I'm talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is when I'm standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is with me everywhere in any situation, but in salah, I'm consciously with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I want to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is the renewing of my allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like having a passport, and if you allow it to lapse and it becomes invalid, then when you need to use it, you are stuck because now you land in a place and you find that your passport is not valid. What happens? You go to jail because there is no way, or you get deported in this case. But, you know, the journey I'm talking about, there's no deportation. There's no going back. There's no returning to where we came from. So salah is the absolute, the boundary line, the boundary condition. And that is the reason why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yeah, when he spoke about salah, he said, "Allahu alladhi baynana wa baynahuma as-salah, faman aradaha faqad kafara," aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. He said that the covenant, the dividing line, the differentiator between them and us, meaning people who are not Muslim and Muslims, is the salah, and the one who leaves it has left Islam. He said he has committed kufr. The sahaba were, in many cases, the sahaba had differences of opinion, but this is one matter on which all the sahabas were muttafaq, and they were completely agreed upon that the one who has left salah has left Islam. Now, why would you want to do that? Think about that, because this journey that we are going to go on, which is the journey of this life where we go into the next stage of life, it's not annihilation, it's the next stage of life, which is when we go into the Alamul Barzakh, into our Qubur. The first question that is going to be asked is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man rabbuk, and we say Rabbi Allah. And how do we say Rabbi Allah when we never accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Rabb by worshipping Him? When a person said, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, the physical manifestation, the amali jama of this thing, the physical expression of this kalima is the salah. Because how can I say I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and then I don't worship Allah? So what is this bearing witness? What am I bearing witness to? What is the value or the point of my bearing witness to something which I am not myself practicing? Now, brothers and sisters, I cannot possibly overemphasize the importance of salah. Let me narrate for you a beautiful hadith Qudsi where Rasulullah ﷺ told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when my slave worships me as I have directed him to worship me, which is the five fard salawat, Inna salata alal kanat alal mu'minina kitabam mawquta. Allah said the salah has been made fard on the believers at specific times. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if my slave worships me as I have specified, then it is incumbent upon me, I take the responsibility on myself to forgive him and enter him into Jannah. Right? What more beautiful reassurance do we want? Allah is saying it is His responsibility, Jalla Jalaluhu, to enter us into Jannah, provided we pray the 5 fard salawat on time. My brother and sister, the day is going to come when Malakul Maut will come for us. A day is going to come when we will go into our qubur, we will go into our graves. Believe me, at that time, to be there and not have salah, not having prayed, and because we did not pray, may Allah protect us from this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us among the list of people who did not have any belief, subhanallah, imagine what kind of a fate that is. And nobody can help you and me, because we will be alone in that grave, in a dark pit in the earth, and nothing to illuminate that, because the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which should have illuminated that pit, we never accepted it in this life. And whatever you do not accept in this life will not come for you in the next life. And that is why it's so critically important. Now, how can we change the state and make our salah a thing of great joy, rejuvenating the spirit, strengthening the heart, and connecting us to the only one who has the power to change our lives and make us winners in both worlds? How can we do this? We can do this by praying deliberately and thoughtfully and not mechanically. Please reflect on the importance of the niyyah in salah. Why is it necessary to make the niyyah? It's not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what we are doing. It is so that we remind ourselves of what we are about to do, and so that we do it deliberately and consciously and thankfully, with the sense of awe and gratitude to be able to stand in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, I cannot possibly overemphasize the importance of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The salah is the tool to do that. But sadly, even in salah, our attention wanders, and we have made salah a mechanical thing to be performed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term establish. Aqimus salah, iqamatis salah. But we insist on calling it perform, right? We read salah, we perform salah, we make salah, nobody establishes salah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. It's not a matter of semantics and words. Whatever we say is an indication of our attitude. If I want to establish salah, then I will approach salah in a particular way. If I'm performing, then it's a different way. If I'm just reading or making namaz, then it's a different way. Right? So please, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, Aqimus salah, establish salah. So let us focus on this and approach salah very thoughtfully and very consciously. That is why it is a performance, because we treat it like a performance, and the zikr of Allah and the obedience to Him Jalla Jalaluhu is never established in our lives. Salah is the microcosm for the rest of our life. How we are in salah, so we are in life. Somebody asked Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, I'm having difficulties in my life and this is happening, that's happening. He said, look at your salah. What is the quality of your salah? He said, if you find difficulties happening in your life, look at the quality of your salah. If you have children who are disobedient to you, look at the quality of your salah. He's not saying look at the quality of their salah, he says your salah. Because you are disobedient to Allah, you treat salah with disdain, you treat salah as if it's unimportant, and that gets reflected in your life and in the lives of those who are in your care. One of the Salafus Salihin, he said that if I'm riding an animal, if I'm riding a horse or a camel or something, and if it misbehaves, right, if it bucks and if it does whatever it does to throw me off, then I focus on my salah and I say there is something wrong in my salah, which is getting reflected in how this animal is behaving. Salah is very, very powerful. Subhanallah, may Allah grant us the tawfiq. And that's why I keep on harping about the importance of tahajjud. It's so critically important. we need to focus on our salah. We need to improve the quality of our salah if we want anything at all in life. Right? So let us see how can we change our salah so that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets established in our lives. How can we change our salah so that the salah becomes a tool to solve all our problems in this life and becomes an intercessor for us in our graves and on the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Allah said, take the, O you who believe, take the help, isti'anat, take the help of sabr and salah. Make the best effort and then pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief. Bis-sabri was-salah. So both are very, very important, to have sabr and to also to pray. So salah is a tool. So there is no salah in the qabr, right? The fact that salah will also give you jannah, the fact that salah will open the doors of jannah for us, the fact that salah will intercede for us and protect us against the adab of the qabr and so on, these are the bonuses of salah, alhamdulillah. But the salah is a tool to be used in this life. It is a tool to solve our worldly problems. So let's see how we can change that, right? Now we can only connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by responding to His kalam. How can we connect if we are dead to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we don't respond? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the effect of His kalam on a mountain if it were sent down on it, right? We know the ayat of Surah Al-Hashr. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And Allah said, we give this example, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah said that if this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to be sent down, nuzul, on a mountain, the mountain would humble itself, would crumble to dust. And Allah said, we give these examples to people so that they will reflect. Right? So think about that. And let's reflect on this. We respond even to a curse, but we do not respond to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though the curse by definition is false and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth. Right? Think about this. If somebody curses you, somebody, you know, uses bad language and in profanity, and if somebody curses you, then obviously he's lying because you're not whatever he's calling you. I don't want to use the curse words and so on to explain. I'm sure you understand this. So if a person is calling you whatever he's calling you, he's lying. But does it bother you? Will you be affected by that? But here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to us. This is the truest of speech. Inna asdaqal hadithi kitab Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the most true speech is the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we read the kalam of Allah, when we recite the kalam of Allah, when we listen to the kalam of Allah, no effect. What does it tell us about our hearts? What kind of hearts do we have? Right? It's only if we reflect on the Quran that we can reach a state where we are responsive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To begin with, I thought I would take as a pointer the surah that we recite most often in every salah, and without which the salah is not complete or accepted, Surah Al-Fatiha. Let's reflect on what we say when we recite this glorious surah, so that we can remember this when we recite it and listen to its recitation and enable ourselves to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, let us reflect on the Hadith Qudsi, which Imam Muslim recorded in his Sahih, where on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu from Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, I have divided the prayer between myself and my slave into two halves, and my slave shall have what he has asked for. When the slave says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamdani Rabbi. Hamidani Rabbi. My slave has praised me. My slave has praised me. When the slave said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, what is he saying? He says, all praise and all thanks is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabb, who is the protector, creator, sustainer, maintainer of everything in the universe. So when the slave says that, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamdani Rabbi, my slave has praised me. And when he says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, when he says the most beneficent, the most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ithna alayya abdi, my slave has extolled me. And when he says, Maliki yawmiddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Majjadani abdi, my slave has glorified me. And when he says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hatha bayni wa bayna abdi, wa li abdi ma sa'al. This is between me and my slave, and my slave will have what he has asked for. And then the slave says, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina anamta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim, wal ad-dallin. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, Hada li abdi, wa li abdi ma sa'al. This is for my slave, and my slave shall have what he has asked for. Now, brothers and sisters, it is for this reason, in deference to the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to each ayah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite this surah ayah by ayah and not continuously. It is not forbidden to recite it continuously, but the whole point of salah is not to hurry through it, it's not to rush through it. It is to do it slowly and deliberately and consciously, and do it in a way where we can taste it, the sweetness of it, and we can reflect on what we are listening to. Let's reflect simply on two thoughts. One, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually listening and responding in real time to us when we pray and recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term abdi, my slave, when he mentioned the person who is praying. That way of address alone is enough to send the one who understands what he is doing and who reflects on this hadith into a state of ecstatic joy that he worships a living God who is real and who listens to him and responds in such an affectionate and personal way. What more can you ask for this? Imagine what more can we ask, right? So when we pray, as we said, somebody who is reluctant to pray must really seriously think about this and say, why am I reluctant to pray? Because this is my Rabb, this is my Allah, this is my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, who loves me so much and who has given me this access to him, free access 24/7. I'm not talking about the five fard salawat. Those are, of course, fard, and they are extremely important. They're the most important thing in the deen and in our lives, and we must respect that. But if anyone wants to pray at any time, right, except for the prohibited times at sunrise and sunset, if a person wants to pray at any time, he can pray. Allah has not prohibited anybody from praying. Right, there is the condition of wudu and so on. But other than that, anybody can pray. Now, what must we say? We have access. We don't have access to some king or some, you know, rich man or something. We have access to the creator of the entire universe. And this access was given to us by him, Jalla Jalalu. How grateful we must be. Now, if somebody does not want to pray, what are you saying? That is an expression of the worst form of ingratitude, because you are saying that even though I have access, no, I'm not interested. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How tragic, how sad is that situation? And imagine, no matter what you say, whether you're interested or not, one day you will meet Allah. One day I will meet Allah. Then what do? I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I'm going to stand there in front of his throne and I'm going to say, no, I'm sorry, I was not interested in talking to you. I was not interested in worshipping you. I was not interested in bowing before you. I was not interested in asking you for help when I knew that there is no one else who can help me. I mean, if a person who is not a Muslim does not understand all of this, that is understandable. But a person who is a Muslim and who doesn't want to pray, what can you say? How utterly blind and how utterly tragic is that? And how completely unnecessary. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave you Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused you to be born in a Muslim family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the adhan to be called in your ear as soon as you were born. And you want to trash all of these ni'mat and all of these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of your laziness or I don't know what, arrogance. So let's reflect on the surah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The surah begins with this. This is the first ayat of the Quran. It is also the sunnah to start any action with this ayah. And it is the first ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha. Please do not recite it. You can, there is a difference of opinion. Some of the Sahaba recited it loudly, some recited it softly, and both based on what Rasulullah ﷺ did. So, Nabi ﷺ recited it softly sometimes and he recited it loudly sometimes. But he never missed it because this is one of the ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha. So, please do not miss it. I want you to reflect that when we say Bismillah, we are actually reciting an ayat of the Quran. We are beginning that action by reciting Quran. Imagine the barakah of that. So, every action of the Muslim begins with Bismillah and should begin with Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Naturally, the hadith where Rasulullah ﷺ told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the believer with 10 hasanat for every letter of the Quran will also apply, inshallah, to anyone who recites this ayah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with that consciousness, hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. So 10 hasanat for every letter of the ayah. So here we have Bismillah, Basama, so that is 30. Then Allah, it is Alif, Lam, Ha, and then it is Shadda, so Allah. Then Ar-Rahman, Alif, Lam, Ra, Ha, Mim, Noon. And then Ar-Rahim, Alif, Ra, Lam, Ra, Haya, and Ma. Now, Haya and Mim. Now, think about this, that this is, multiply that, each of these letters, by 10, that is the number of hasanat. We just said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we got all these hasanat in our account. So make it a habit always. Everything must begin with Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Basmallah is also protection against sin, because it's inconceivable that you could begin something which is haram with the name of Allah. Yeah, that would be blasphemy and sacrilege, and not something that any Muslim, no matter how weak his faith may be, would dream of doing. So if we make it a habit to begin all our actions with Basmallah, then we can be assured that inshallah, that remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop us from committing any sin. Then think about the meaning of this ayah. We are saying, in the name of Allah. So when we end, we're saying, in the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, meaning, the most beneficent and the most merciful. So when we begin in the name of Allah, we think about our connection with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. I remind myself and you that it takes a long time to build a connection, but it does not take long to break the connection. We can see this in our own relationships, and we know that it takes years to build trust and to create a relationship of closeness, but it takes only one incident or one word to break that relationship. So let us ask ourselves, what is my connection with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? Nobody can say with certainty how strong and close that connection is. And we will all know that only when the curtain is lifted and when we meet Allah. But when we begin in the name of Allah, we must reflect on this and ask ourselves what we are doing to build that connection. And we must do our utmost to ensure that we never do anything that is likely to strain or break that connection. We begin up in the name of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, who is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. I will come to the meaning of these specific attributes later, because they are mentioned again and again in the third ayat. But here, let us reflect on the barakah of beginning in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who chose to introduce Himself with these specific attributes of His among all the other equally magnificent ones. This is to indicate the primary relationship that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has with His creatures, which is a relationship of mercy, overriding mercy and compassion. So we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for introducing Himself with these sifat, with these attributes and qualities, because if He had not done that, He couldn't have made Him change His words. The introduction is important also because further interaction depends on how a person introduces himself. If a person introduces himself as a doctor, you won't ask him to fix your car. Similarly, if a person tells you that he is a motor mechanic, you will not tell him about the pain in your heart. So reflect on the importance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, who introduced himself as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. It defines our relationship with him and tells us what we can expect from him, his mercy, his compassion, his forgiveness, which is complete and which is boundless. Compassion and remember, mercy is the prerequisite. It is the foundation of forgiveness. Because what is forgiveness? It comes from mercy. Why is that important? Because forgiveness implies that we committed a sin, right? So when we commit a sin, to punish would be justice. We are not asking for justice. We are asking for mercy. We are saying, Allah, I committed a sin, but I deserve the punishment, but please don't punish me. Right? Forgive me. Now, compassion is not merely mercy, but something that arises out of a true understanding of the difficulties and pain of the one suffering them. For example, someone who has undergone heart surgery can truly understand the anxiety of the one who is waiting to be operated. For others, it's more academic because they don't share that experience, though they may well sympathize with the patient. Now, there's a special relationship between the one who is compassionate and the one who is suffering the pain, a relationship of shared experience. Who understands our pain better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Although He is free from our experience, but is our creator and the creator of our experiences. So we begin the surah and the Quran and must begin all our actions with the name of Allah Jalla Jalalu. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is the second ayat of Suratul Fatiha. All goodness starts with thankfulness. Thankfulness creates barakah in our lives, enjoyment in our experience, and appreciation for what we have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to begin with praise and thanking Him Jalla Jalaluhu. Praise is for His glorious qualities and attributes, and thanks are for His blessings on us. Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala in his tafsir records this hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and also it's in Ibn Majah. A slave of Allah once said, O Allah, yours is the hamd that is suitable for the grace of your face and the greatness of your supreme authority. Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhik wa azimi sultanik. O Allah, all praise and thanks are yours and for you. And how much of that? In keeping with the glorious magnificence of your countenance and in keeping with the glorious magnificence of your creation, of your azimi sultanic, of your rule and your supreme authority. The two angels who record the deeds were confused as to what to write as reward for these words. They ascended to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course Allah knows what is happening. Allah knew what the slave was going to say even before the slave himself was aware. Allah heard the slave when he said it, and Allah knows. But the angels are doing their work, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is questioning the angels is really to establish their hujjah, establish evidence in favor of his slave. The two angels were confused, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as to how to write these words. They ascended to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, O our Rabb, a slave just made a statement and we are unsure how to record it for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, while having more knowledge about what his slave had said than them, what did my slave say? They said, he said, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhik wa azimi sultanik. O Allah, yours is the hamd that is suitable for the grace of your magnificent countenance and the greatness of your supreme authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, write it as my slave said it until he meets me, and then I will reward him in keeping with the glory of my countenance and in keeping with the majesty of my kingdom. Imagine what kind of reward that is. Allah only knows, because Allah will reward in keeping with His glory and magnificence. As for praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminded us, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَذَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. Allah said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to mankind, if the sea were ink for writing the words of my Rabb, surely the sea would be exhausted before the words of my Rabb would be finished, even if we brought another sea like it for its aid. I remember this ayah, subhanAllah. I was in Mozambique and we were out on the ocean, deep sea fishing with my dear friend Ibrahim Bhai Patel and our friends in Mozambique. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for their wonderful hospitality. We were over 100 miles out in the ocean on the in the Indian Ocean, in the Mozambique channel, in the Mozambique current, and there they shut the engine of the boat, and we were trawling for marlin, and we shut the engine of the boat, and now they are fishing. The boat makes this kind of backwards and forwards and sideways simultaneous motion, which is absolutely incredibly horrible for the belly. I mean, you get very, very sick. Anyway, what struck me at that time was the play of light on the water. And we were there, just one small boat in the middle of the ocean. I mean, obviously, there were boats, many boats, I'm sure, around us, but we couldn't see anything. So as far as we were concerned, we were the one small boat in the middle of the ocean. So we were sitting there in this boat, and what struck me was the color of the water. And the color of the water was the color of blue ink. And I recall in my childhood, we had this ink called Quink, Q-U-I-N-C-K, Quink. And I love writing with fountain pens, broad nib fountain pens. And we used to use this Quink ink. I remember that. And then I thought of this ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah said, if this ocean was ink, and then if you wrote the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this whole ocean would be exhausted. And even if you brought another one like that, that would also be exhausted. But the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still not have been written in keeping with its reality. Again, it's these things are very easy to understand and to believe, because if you really look at the at the just in terms of size, if you just really look at the earth, this whole earth, it looks big to us because we are so small, but the whole earth in astronomical terms is less than a grain of sand on a beach. Right? In size, what is this? Now, an ocean on that earth is what? It's a micro drop of water. It's not even one decent drop of water. So if you say that, the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be written in a micro drop of water, of course it can't be written in a micro drop of water. It needs a lot more than that. But for us, because we are smaller than all that, so it looks very, huge and massive. We say, oh, wow, subhanAllah. So this is what Allah is giving us as an example and saying, even this thing which you think is so vast and big and so on is nothing compared to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what He does. My brothers and sisters, there is no power in our language, any language, to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as is His right to be praised, as He is worthy of being praised. So the best we can do is to use the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself used to describe His glory and magnificence. For nobody knows Allah better than He knows Himself. And nobody can describe Allah better than He can describe Himself. And how did He describe Himself? We know the ayat of the Quran. Just listen to them, read them, reflect on them. The key is the reflection on the ayat. We get stuck only in the outward manifestation. I'm not devaluing or discounting the importance, for example, of correct pronunciation and so on. All this is very important. But that is not, the Quran didn't come, was not sent for you to pronounce it correctly. The Quran was sent for us to reflect on it and to apply it in our lives. How can we apply something which we don't even understand? That's why it's very important to understand, and not just understand as in translation, but understand as in deep inside, to say, what does this do to me? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum, la ta'khuduhu sinatun wala nawm, lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Allah, la ilaha illahu, none has the right to be worshipped but He, Jalla Jalaluhu, the ever-living, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the ever-living, the one who sustains, the established, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Neither sleep nor slumber nor any form of that, no matter how momentary it might be, does not overtake Him. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth. Who is he that can intercede with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, except with His permission? He knows what happens to them, His creatures in this world, and what will happen to them in the hereafter, and they will never compass anything of His knowledge except that which He wills. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and He feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving whatever He created. And He is the Most High and He is the Most Great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hashr, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He is Allah, other than whom there is لا إله إلا هو, none has the right to be worshipped except He, the all knower of the unseen, the unperceivable and the perceived and the open. He is the most beneficent and the most merciful. He is Allah, than whom there is la ilaha illa hu, none has the right to be worshipped but He. He is the King, the Holy, the one free from all defects, the giver of security, the watcher over His creatures, the Almighty, the Compeller, the Supreme. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. High is He above all that they associate as partners with Him. He is Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, the creator, the inventor of all things, the bestower of forms. To Him belong the best names. All that is in the heavens and the earth glorify Him, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. And then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. As I mentioned this before, this hadith is a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah, where narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if a person recites this surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, 10 times, Allah will build a palace for him in Jannah. If he recites it 20 times, Allah will build for him 2 palaces in Jannah. If he recites it 30 times, Allah will build for him 3 palaces in Jannah. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, then we will do it much more and build a lot of palaces for ourselves in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the treasures of my Rabb are unlimited. Allah does not get tired of giving. So do as much as you want. Qul wallahu ahad, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is Allah, Al-Ahad, He is the One. Say, Allahu Samad, He is the self-sufficient master whom all creatures need and He does not need anything from them. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, He does not beget, nor was He begotten. He didn't give birth to anybody. He's got no sons and daughters and relatives and whatnot, and He has no fathers and mothers and so forth. He does not beget, and nor was He begotten, and there is none co-equal or comparable unto Him. Walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. This is the essence of Tawheed. This is the absolute essence of Tawheed. My brothers and sisters, let us reflect on who we worship. We do not worship creations of our own imagination. We don't worship celestial bodies. We don't worship animals or trees or mountains or rivers or anything in creation. We worship the only one who is worthy of being worshipped, and that is Allah. We worship the creator of all of these things and of all that we know and all that we don't know. By that, we are exalted above all creation, and all creation has been subjugated to us only because we worship nothing but the Creator, Jalla Jalalu. I remind myself and you, everything begins with thanks, and therefore let us
thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in every way, to give you that which you ask for and give you what you forgot to ask or you didn't know to ask from His own generosity. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.